Hey, it's Jeff. Welcome back to Fitness Minus the BS. Happy New Year. This will be my first podcast that I've recorded in 2024. And I figured I would start off with a bang and kind of give you my two cents on the new documentary that everybody's talking about, which is You Are What You Eat. It's the new, I thought it was a vegan documentary, but it was a documentary to try and show you that a plant-based diet is the better option for you. And now, before I do this, we have vegan members at my gym. I work with vegan clients all the time. Some of what I'm going to say is just to be funny, right? Everybody has the ability to eat whatever they want. I give, you know, vegans a hard time sometimes playfully. But I'm really going to try to just give you my opinion on what was said in this documentary. There was some issues that I had with it. And I guess overall, before I do this, if you have decided to be a vegan, that's totally okay. That's great. I have many discussions about this stuff with people at my gym and people in general. The issue that I have is for me, it's from a nutritional standpoint. I realize that many vegans have an ethical reason that they are a vegan, and that's great. For me and from a nutritional standpoint, it has always come from what I know to be true about nutrition and about our protein needs as human beings. And anyways, so before I just started, I just wanted to say, if you are vegan, I respect that. That's awesome. However, I'm going to get into this documentary. And one of the big issues that I have is that, you know, vegans are largely, like, they're trying to convince people to be vegan, and it's because they believe that killing animals is wrong, and I see that. But I don't see, like, I'm not out there trying to convince people in general. Like, I don't stand on a soapbox and tell everybody that everybody should eat animals. And anyway, we'll get into this documentary. So the first thing is, whenever you see a documentary about something like this, you always want to say, like, well, who's funding this? Where is the money for this coming from? And there is an easy answer to that. One of the biggest contributors is a guy named Kyle Vogt, or Vaught, who's also another guy that funded the Game Changers documentary, which I've done other stuff about, that I wasn't a fan of that as well. But he's a big time. He's a Silicon Valley guy who is known as part of what they call the vegan mafia. And, you know, this guy is blatantly, you know, pro veganism. And it just kind of makes you wonder at the beginning, like, okay, well, this is being funded by a guy like that. I wonder if they're bias, right? Clearly he's going to be biased towards the vegan side. I wonder if that bias is going to affect what it is that they're trying to show or prove in this. So that's, you know, kind of part one. And whenever you have a study like that, they mention his name in the documentary, but they didn't really, like, go into detail about, like, who he was. Not to mention the other doctor, Gardner from Stanford, is another big vegan guy. He's part of a huge plant-based diet initiative at Stanford. He's on a couple different boards where he's a big plant-based vegan guy, right? So now the two biggest guys in this documentary clearly have a conflict of interest in what they're telling us about. They're obviously, like, if you were to ask them personally before they even started this series, what they felt, they would have said that, you know, they would assume that the vegan part of this or the vegan side of this would be the better outcome. And when you think that, it's hard not to try and prove that. And one of the things that I learned in school, and when I took classes on research methods and stuff like that, is you can really, if you cherry pick data, you can make it say whatever you want it to say. And this is true. This is, you know, and that's why the average person, you know, looks at numbers and doesn't really understand research methods or what they did or double blind studies and all that stuff. And on the surface, they set this up to be very on the up and up. You know, it was the randomized controlled. It was, you know, it was the gold standard of research. But if you read the actual, first of all, in the study that they did, because this is a documentary about a study, in the study that they did, there were 22 sets of twins. 22 sets of twins. In the documentary, there were four. So I don't know what made them pick those four. You know, knowing what I know now about the people that put on the documentary, I have to, you know, I'm sorry, but I would assume that they chose those four for a reason. Maybe because it really showed better than maybe some others their point. I don't know. Maybe there is a reason that I didn't hear that they said why they chose them. Maybe I missed that part, but makes you wonder. But in the original study, you have to kind of cite, like, what are you trying to prove, or what is the outcome? What measure of success is, you know, are you looking for, right? And they said that it was they were gonna measure LDL, right? Your low density lipoproteins, which is, you know, it's something that the general public has come to know as a marker of heart disease. You know, if your LDLs are too high, that's a bad thing, right? It's your cholesterol, essentially. You have LDL, you have HDL, and the public, from getting their blood drawn once a year and their physical, has been told that, you know, having high LDL is bad. Great. Okay, so they chose that because they know that that's a statistic that the public would understand. So I can't fault them there. I think that there's a lot of things that they could have measured that even I wouldn't have a damn clue what normal was. You know, they could tell me, but I wouldn't know. So LDL, great. That's the point. Well, here's my issue with that. If you feed somebody a plant-based diet, their LDL is going to go down because there's not cholesterol in the food that they're eating, right? So across the board, anyone that's put on a plant-based diet, their LDL goes down. Across the board, it's not even debatable. We knew that was going to happen. So that study, when you start a study, you're like, oh, let's see if their LDL goes down. Well, we knew that was going to happen. Meanwhile, you have people that are eating an omnivorous diet, obviously one that includes meat, that includes cholesterol, and theirs didn't go down as much. Weird. It just didn't, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, excuse me, they also started including at the end of this, so they didn't include initially that they were going to talk about weight loss. They didn't include that they were going to talk about muscle gain or loss. They didn't include, you know, the whatever that sexual study was that was just ridiculous. We'll talk about that in a second. But they didn't include all of those because they weren't sure what was going to happen. So if they said at the beginning that weight loss was their measuring stick and the vegans didn't lose weight, they would have to admit that they were wrong. If they said that it was going to be about muscle gain or loss and the vegans lost muscle, they would have to, you know, so they only started reporting those things when they realized that they were somewhat favorable, right? They were somewhat favorable. And if you watch the documentary, many of you have not, I don't know if this is a spoiler alert thing, but many of the vegans lost muscle. Many of them lost muscle. I think there was only one in the documentary that gained muscle, but it was like a 2 pound difference, whereas his brother, who was also training and eating an omnivorous diet, gained like 5 or 6 pounds of muscle. So like, yes, he did, but clearly not as much. And again, if you haven't seen this, like, they both worked with the same trainer. And there's a criticism here that I heard, and I agree with, but I don't think it would have made a difference, which is, there was a comment in the documentary that the, because the first half, they provided meals for them, and there was not the same amount of protein gram for gram in the vegan meals as there were in the omnivorous, which I really wish they would have done. I really wish they would have done, because I don't really see, I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. But here's the other side of that coin, is because they tried to throw in our face that the vegans lost more weight. Well, part of the reason that they didn't match those gram for gram is also that the vegans ate less calories, right? So, I mean, if we want to talk about fairness, they gave the vegans about 200 less calories a day than the omnivores. No kidding, they lost weight, right? They're eating less calories. So that was an issue. So you have one that like, yeah, they didn't get enough protein. But here's part of the reason. And I heard them say this, and this is something that I talk to my clients about all the time, is the reason for that is the vegans were struggling to eat all the food. They were struggling because once you go into that plant-based, it's you're not getting a lot of calories. If you're just eating carbs and protein, that's a lot of food. And it's actually not a trick, but it's actually something that when I help people clean up their diets, it's something that I know that if I can get them to eat the right amount of carbs and protein, their fat intake will drop, and therefore they will lower their calories. They will get to eat more food, right? And that's kind of a, I don't want to say a trick. It's not a weight loss trick. It's what you should be doing. So the idea, and one of the reasons that people struggle with diets, is that they don't account for fat intake. So they eat all their calories with not a lot of food, right? We call it calorie density. And that's something that when vegans try to match protein, because when you eat animal products, if you eat a chicken breast, right, that's almost 100% protein, right? There's probably a little bit of fat in it, but that's almost all protein and no carbohydrates. But when you're eating plant-based sources of protein, it also has carbohydrates. So now you are increasing the calories per gram of protein, right? Like a gram of protein only has 4 calories. But if now what has to come with that gram of protein is carbohydrates, well, now you know, you're talking about now it's 6, 7, you know, maybe 8 grams per gram because of the extra calories you have to consume with it. So back to what I was saying before, people criticize because they didn't give them enough protein. I could say and criticize that they didn't give them the same amount of calories in general. But that's also just one of the big problems with veganism in general is it's tough to get enough protein. I have a list here. Sorry, I'm going through this. Oh, and then a big chunk. I almost wasted like a whole episode on kind of what seemed like propaganda, and they went into like the farming industry. I get that a lot of farms and animal conditions, like I get it. And they always show, you know, these horrible chicken farms and these cattle ranches and like that's the only way that this happens. And I get it, and it's valid, but then they did what they started doing in Game Changers, and what they do in a lot of these documentaries is they start fluffing the numbers, right? They start rattling off these numbers that are supposed to make you go, oh my God, that's ridiculous. And then when you look into it, you're like, that's not really the case. Where they said something to the effect of like agriculture accounts for 30-something% of greenhouse gas emissions, and which is more than the entire transportation globally. Nonsense. Not true. It's just 100% not true. And what they didn't do, and when you say agriculture, they used like this little icon of a cow to make people think that was like, oh, well, that's just the raising of animals. Agriculture, and not to mention, I couldn't find anywhere that supported any of those numbers that they gave. But agriculture would also consist of farming crops, which is what vegans consume. So if you're gonna fault agriculture for all this greenhouse gas stuff, you know, it would have been nice for them to separate the difference between raising animals and raising just, you know, broccoli and asparagus and crops like that. So that was kind of a little bit of a false premise. And then on top of that, and this is just a fact, and it's one that people are very uncomfortable with, especially when you're on the vegan side of things, but you know, they want to talk about how much farmland it takes to raise all these animals. Excuse me. And here's the problem. If we stopped with all of our animal agriculture and decided like we're just going to, you know, everyone on the planet goes vegan, there is not enough farmland on the planet to feed all the people. It doesn't exist. There is not currently enough farmland on the planet to feed everybody if that were to happen. So their whole like pie in the sky like idea isn't based in reality. It's not something that could happen. So I'm saying that to say, it's not that I disagree that some people consume way too many animal products, because that is 100% true. But I do think that the answer to this, if we're going to talk about climate change, right? They brought climate change into this whole thing. If we're going to talk about that, then I think the real, it's got to be some kind of a compromise. It's got to be some kind of a compromise between plant-based and animal products, because there's no way that we're going to be able to feed this world globally on crops alone. It's just not going to happen. So I don't know what the answer to that is, and I don't think they know what the answer to that is. But that's the other thing about taking a hard... So just an aside here. To me, the counterpart to being vegan are the people that advocate for the carnivore diet, which I also think is stupid, okay? So I think both extremes in this situation are stupid. I think that the body needs carbohydrates as well. It needs it needs vegetables. It needs fiber. It needs all that stuff. So not to say like I've you know, I'm sure that there'll be some carnivore rebuttal to this, and I'll look at that and I'll tell you all the stupid stuff I think about that too. But it's, you know, these extreme points of view are not typically very viable. So moving on. That sexual arousal study thing. And they did something similar to that in Game Changers. And you can pretty much just throw that whole thing away, because they put a lot of emphasis on it just because I think that it was, you know, it was interesting. It was absolutely interesting. But that is... It's neither here nor there. It's not controlled. What were they, you know, you don't know what they were looking at. You don't know. There's just too many. There's too many factors in there to say one way or the other that. And I don't even know, honestly, what they were trying to say. They're trying to say that you get more sexual arousal from a plant-based diet. Like, it didn't even make any sense. So, I'm just throwing that one out, because there's not really a lot of good data on what is a normal amount of sexual arousal to even make any kind of judgment on that. So anyways, all in all, you know, it got to the end, and, you know, they recorded all these data points. Yes, the LDL went down, but they knew that was going to happen from the beginning. That wasn't even a question. And then they started throwing around the, you know, the weight loss and the muscle loss versus the fat loss, here's another thing that if you read the actual study here, and here's back to my point of cherry picking, is what they did not include is the fact that their HDL, which is technically your good cholesterol, went down, and their triglycerides went up slightly. So of all the three markers that people are familiar with, the LDL, the HDL, triglycerides, they only included one of them, and they only had two. That's all they said that they were going to measure. But if they would have included the other ones, it probably wouldn't have made them look as good. So to sum all of this up, I know, again, the people that are vegan for ethical, like animal reasons, like they're very passionate about it, and I get that. They believe in something. I'm passionate about a lot of things too. However, when you're going to take this into, it's one thing to say like, I don't eat animal products because I don't think animals should be abused. And that's my, like, I can't argue with that, right? I'm not going to argue with you and say, like, no, animals should be abused. No, I can't argue that point. However, if you're going to try to produce studies that prove your point, if that's the route you're going to go, and you're going to say like, okay, well, now it's not just about ethics. It's not just about ethical. It is just flat out better. And I'm going to do a study to show you, those studies have failed. They've failed almost every single time. And that's the issue that I take with all of these things, where it's like, look, if it was really better, then you wouldn't have to go get funding from people that are you know, clearly biased towards veganism. You wouldn't have to fudge numbers when you talk to people. You wouldn't have to, you wouldn't have to do tricky things in your studies to go out of your way to show something that you kind of already knew was going to go down, right? There was no risk when they started this whole thing. There was no risk of them being wrong because the LDL was 100% going to go down, all right? There was no risk involved. So if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. I would love if anybody has any comments or questions, or even if somebody would like to come on the podcast and talk to me about this. I'd love to have a good conversation about it. Not a debate, just a conversation. And, you know, the way that I see it, there's only two real reasons to, you know, three reasons to be vegan. One is, like I said, the ethical treatment of animals. I get it. I can't argue that with you. Two is religion. If for some reason if your religious beliefs keep you from eating meat or certain types of meat, can't argue with that either. Or three, like you just don't like the taste of it. But if it's about nutrition, if you're trying to tell me that it is nutritionally superior to an omnivore's diet, it's just not true. It hasn't been proven in any way, shape, or form. And that is the only exception that I take to the whole thing. So anyways, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. Don't take my word for it. But I figured I'd sum that up. Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you soon.